From John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is your defining story? I mean the story that explains the most important part of who you are. Maybe it has to do with your childhood family. For example, I've heard children of military officers talk about how the ability to move often and well became central to their identity. They knew how to walk into any situation, be who they were, and make friends, because the present moment was what they had. No worrying about tomorrow. Jump in with all they were. Maybe your defining story is about your vocation. Maybe you see the world through teacher's eyes or lawyer's eyes. Maybe that role has become your story. Maybe your story is about how you beat the odds in some way. You overcame some great adversity, or maybe you worked your way out of a difficult beginning in life, overcame challenges that most people couldn't get through, problems that you didn't let define you, bouncing back each day as a new day. Maybe resiliency is what defined you. I was at a Presbytery meeting, and I heard a man talk about how he was a former prisoner and how important it was for him to change the story that defined him, to not let the thing he did on the worst day of his life be the story of who he was for his whole life. Adam Hamilton's a Methodist pastor out in Kansas City, and this year on Good Friday, we used a study of his called The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. Now, the study ended at the foot of the cross, but he couldn't leave it without an epilogue. There's no way he could leave out the end of the story. He said, in raising Jesus from the dead, God was shouting to the human race, "Love has conquered hate. Grace has conquered sin. Hope has conquered despair. And life has conquered death." Love, grace, hope, and life, these have the final word because of Christ's resurrection. That is our defining story as Christians. And yet we all know stories of times when it seems like light doesn't come anywhere near conquering darkness. Drugs destroy people's lives. Violence comes out of the blue to turn our reality upside down. People get less and less able to be even minimally civil to one another. On the other hand, here we are together on this Sunday after Easter, this beautiful, amazing day when we got to baptize Elizabeth and we got to declare her a child of God forever. Truly, the light shines in the darkness in this moment. We can proclaim joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let heaven and nature sing. So the question this morning is, what story is going to define us? If we choose to say yes to Jesus, to accept the resurrection as our defining story, what difference does it make in our lives right now? If we say that the defining story of who we are as Christians is that resurrection makes love and grace and hope and life our final words, how does it change how we live our lives now? Maybe it makes us braver, less afraid to walk in this life because God's love extends beyond the grave. Maybe it makes us more willing to love, because as much as it hurts to lose people we love, the end is not the end. Maybe our defining story tells us that we do not give up fighting for everybody to be treated as equally worthy of the title of child of God, because love always beats hate. And we can count on that. Whether it looks like it or not in any given moment, we can walk in the world believing that hope wins. Maybe climbing our defining story as the resurrection. Maybe that means we find a way to forgive ourselves and other people. Because amazing grace is ours. Ours to accept, ours to spread in the world. That's what the Gospel of John tells us. That forgiving people is the work of the church. That learning to be forgivers is the work of the church. That letting people loose of the shame that binds them and us is the work of the church. There's a lot that's fantastic about living where we do, so close to New York City. One thing that's not so fantastic about it is that New Yorkers tend to think that they're always right. And forgiveness is just a rare thing. It takes practice. It takes work. One of my friends is from Long Island. She used to say, "Don't make me righteously angry, because then you will be on the other side of the wall." We don't want there to be a wall. We want to learn how to be forgivers. We want to learn how to be people who let grace be who we are. This world is full of challenges. None of us are exempt. Too often we spend our time looking for ways around the things that are hard, when what we could be doing is going straight at them. With the courage that comes in believing Christ is with us, love and grace and hope and life, that is the winning side of the equation that begins with the empty tomb and leads to a church that tries its best to be the agents of reconciliation that Christ wants us to proclaim. Today we get to celebrate baptism and communion. These two sacraments, they remind us of our story. That we are baptized into the covenant, engrafted into the body of Christ forever. That we are invited to this table by our Lord Jesus Christ. As we share at the table this day, as we eat and drink what has been prepared for us, may we let it fill us with courage and peace and forgiveness and the deep abiding love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.